I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinis.
I'm Kayla Itzinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Victoria.
And I'm Hannah.
And simply put, we review cookbooks. We take one book for each episode and both cook a couple of dishes, then discuss what we liked, more likely what we didn't like, and give it a rating out of 5. Like all the best recipes, it's pretty simple.
And if you love what we do, we're now on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help cover the podcast costs from the books themselves, the ingredients of what we cook, and in return you'll get some fun stuff. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now for the podcast.
Hello, Hannah.
Hello, nurse. Hi, Victoria.
Nurse?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch
Animaniacs? It was a cartoon back in the day.
No, I feel like maybe that was on a channel that we didn't have.
Shut up. I play that card all the time, being like, we didn't get that in Ireland. don't you play that back
to me. Get that in Birmingham.
Yeah, it was just this stupid cartoon and they would always go, hello, nurse.
Nice.
Yeah, like someone that out there will get it. Hit me up.
Are you out there, nurse? What's going on, Hansi? Tell us what you've been up to. What's cooking? Good looking.
Oh god. Well, apart from being in the middle of a flat move, which is very fun.
Sorry to hear that. Well, I'm not sorry actually, it's exciting.
It's very exciting. Just moving is a pain in the arse. You know, right? You did this recently, but it's just,
yeah.
And the heaviest things that I own are, you know, shitload of cookbooks. My knife.
Why do you have
bag.
So many cookbooks?
Not sure. TBC. Like my knife bag and then like my fucking bacon tins and stuff. And it's just like, why do
Humble
I have this hobby? Why do I have this hobby? Like, why can't I just like enjoy, I don't know, fucking miniatures
knitting
or something?
Wool is not very heavy.
No, that's true. But yeah. Apart from that, I mean, and I was going to talk to you about this article that I read, Pete Doherty in today's Guardian, where he's talking about how he loves living in France and eating, like he's like blaming Brie and Camembert for why he's like put on weight over the last 20 years, rather than not doing class A drugs on a daily basis. But instead, I will talk to you about what I was cooking last weekend because I was very stressed.
Yeah, isn't that like, sorry, just back to Doherty. Isn't that like a really iconic photo of him like eating this ridiculous like English breakfast? like a challenge style one, and he's like so skinny, like because he did all sorts of drugs.
Back
in the 2000s, early 2000s.
Yeah, I think so. I think I remember that.
I guess he's just swapped that out for baguettes and brie.
Yeah, apparently Calvados, he's a big fan as well.
I like Calvados. In Japan, do you know I lived in Japan?
No idea.
Haagen-Dazs do a Calvados ice cream, and
I really
don't
know what you say, Haagen-Dazs. This is the sheer. If you want to see the sheer difference between our accents, I just said Haagen-Dazs in the most Irish way, and you say Haagen-Dazs. Oh, that's very pleasurable.
But I feel like maybe the way you say it is the one. It's like Danish. Is it Danish?
German.
Swedish?
Don't know.
German?
Not English, so it doesn't matter.
Anyway, I love Baskin-Robbins. Just want to get that out there. If Baskin-Robbins want to sponsor us, they're my fave.
Not massive in the UK, are they, Baskin-Robbins?
No. In Japan, though.
So Calvados ice cream. Mm. So kind of apple-y boozy.
Yeah, lovely.
Nice.
Lovely little one. Anyway, sorry. Tell us about something else, apart from Pete Doherty and me chatting over shit about Japan.
Also, you know, worthy contender for conversation. Sorry. I've been reading lots of news this morning. But in the M&M's factory yesterday, did you see this? Two of the workers fell into a vat of chocolate.
Are they okay? I was going to laugh, but I wanted to check. You were gonna, and then he died. And I was like, I don't want to, you know, like smothered by chocolate. You know, that's like some Willy Wonka shit right there.
Yeah. Yes, it does sound funny, but they are okay. But I think they had to get some, yeah. But yeah, wild. Anyway, I'll talk about what I made instead last weekend because, yeah. Do you know when it's stressful and you're just like, oh, I just need nice food as a distraction? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a problem. But anyway.
Thank God it was chocolate M&Ms they were making and not like peanut ones, because that could have been quite painful.
Or the crispy ones.
Ouch. Or the peanut butter ones. You would drown in peanut butter, wouldn't you?
Drown in chocolate? Fucking hell. I think they were in there like an hour as well or something.
Did no one notice?
The incident began around 1:51, and both workers remained trapped in what was described as waist-high chocolate for over an hour. The first person was freed from the tank at 3:10 p.m. while the second one got out 15 minutes later.
Oh, my God.
Waist-high chocolate.
Talk about, you know, an afternoon snack.
Oh, we shouldn't laugh. That is actually fucking terrifying.
Yeah, it is terrifying.
Yeah.
Anyway. But...
But I thought, you know, with this female heavy season that we wouldn't get a chance to talk about Ottolenghi as much as I'd like. So I thought.
So you're going to anyway.
So I'm just going to wedge him in here to this little section. But you have this Ottolenghi Test Kitchen Shelf Love Book, do you?
I do not.
No. It's great. And I've used it lots. I've probably used it... more than any other cookbook recently, actually, to be fair.
Sounds like you.
What does that mean? What was that?
Carry on.
Anyway, continue. I made the pita breads for a start, which were bloody great. And I was really lazy because you're meant to do them in a stand mixer. I don't have one. And I was just really lazy and didn't knead the dough very much. And they still turned out really great and fluffy and delicious.
Oh, great.
And I made this pea dip thing because I'm trying to clear out the freezer before we move. And he has a whole freezer section. So it's like, you know, yeah, just using crap that you have, you know, around. The whole basis of the book is that I'm pretty sure we talked about it in some capacity last season. But yeah, so it's like frozen please. Hannah, please stop talking about Ottolenghi. tahini, mint, za'atar, lemon. And you just make this delicious dip. You love a dip. You would like this dip.
I love a dip.
Yes. Americans love a dip as well, don't they?
Let's move to America. It's not, because, you know, I'd eat so much dip, I'd need to go to hospital, and then that would be the end of me, because I couldn't afford it.
Victoria drowns in a vat of dip.
Needs to pay 10 grand to get out of it with an the hour ambulance. Later.
Yeah. And then this, I'm like, so yeah, made that dip to eat with the pita breads, and this like spiced semolina thing.
Oh.
Again, because in the move, I found this like jar of semolina that I had and I wanted to use up.
A jar?
Well, I had emptied the contents of a packet into a jar.
Right. Wow.
Into like a mason jar.
You know, so
what?
Sustainable. You're like those TikToks where there's just people decanting shit into other plastic containers to make their kitchen aesthetic.
Oh my god, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till I move into my own place. My kitchen is gonna be so wanky. Just you wait.
Do we need to get you a label maker?
Oh my god, I would fucking love a label maker. Have you ever been on Zara Home for kitchen stuff, by the way?
No, because I don't, you know, vomit money. Probably wouldn't fit my house knowing Zara.
The sizes are all off, yeah. No, honestly, it's not that expensive and they have really nice kitchen stuff. Anyway, the spiced semolina thing, which like semolina is quite like porridgey, right? Like it's quite smooth. Mm. But he cooks it with like peanuts and sweet corn, and you like blitz up half the sweet corn and then you leave the rest of it whole, and you like cook the semolina with like that sweet corn blitz thing and then like some spices and lime and ginger and garlic and coconut milk. And it's just really nice. It was quite mushy, but the peanuts then help and you have herbs on top.
And you've got your pita breads.
I've got your pita breads. And then the next day I just like heated it up and then put a fried egg on top and like spring onions and stuff. And I just really love that. It's just a great book for, you know, food if you like eating. If you're a fan of food, I just love this book, man.
All right,
I'm just gonna put it out there.
they're bringing a new one out, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow, that sounded like entirely just one word sentence. I'm not drunk. It's quite early in the morning.
Drunk on life. Drunk on summer.
Drunk on being awake since 4 a.m.
Oh, mate, it's
fine. We're fine.
Motherhood's great.
Yeah. No, I'm just in, you know, that 5 a.m. club that, you know, like weird productivity people talk about. That's what I'll tell myself.
Oh, fuck that shit.
But.
I feel like you're using but as a weapon against me lately.
No. You call me a bully? A butt bully?
You're a bully butt. Bully butt. But that's not who we're talking about today.
No. It is not, because Yotam Ottolenghi is not a contemporary international woman.
No.
Chef.
No. Nor does he pretend to be.
No.
Which, if he did, we would accept.
Yes.
And welcome.
Let's not get into that.
Maybe I'm a little drunk.
Yeah, how many coffees have you had?
Oh, this is number 3, yeah.
Oh, nice.
AKA my peak. Get ready, buckle up.
Yes, today we have a new book to talk about. Woo! Obviously, that's why we're here. And it is In Praise of Veg by Alice Zaslavsky.
Woohoo!
Ooh, I really hope I'm saying that right.
Yes. Me too.
So I think I am. I think, but you know, Alice, if you're out there, correct me if I'm wrong and I apologize.
Can we talk about the cover quote? Or what do they call that? On this book, it's Nigella as well, saying Alice is a force of nature. What a nice thing. Like, what a woman. What a woman to endorse you.
And I just feel like they're maybe friends. There's a couple of pictures of them together on her Instagram.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think I read that Alice interviewed Nigella in Australia somewhere for something.
Oh, how do we get into this club?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe we should stop slagging them all off on the podcast. I'm joking. We don't slag anyone off. Only Molly Buzz.
only Jamie Oliver. And he deserves it.
So, Alice.
Yes. Shall I tell you a little bit about Alice?
Only a little bit, please.
Okay.
Only a little bit. I couldn't possibly take any more.
You got to go back to thinking about Odd Delaney for a couple of hours after this. You can't, you know, overwhelm your brain too much with other chefs.
Yes, I'm all ears.
So Alice Zaslavsky is a Australian chef. Well, I'm calling her an Australian chef. I don't know if she identifies as an Australian person. I couldn't find out whether, because she emigrated to Australia from Georgia, the country,
okay,
as a kid, when Georgia was in the Soviet Union.
Wow.
So,
okay.
So I don't know if she, yeah, classes herself as Australian or Georgian, right, or both, probably both. So yes, but she is, for all intents and purposes, works, lives, cooks in Australia.
Right.
And she was a school teacher.
Oh.
She was head of humanities at a school in Melbourne.
Wow.
Until 2012, when she went on Australian MasterChef.
Ah, no way.
Yeah.
Which is an insane, like, MasterChef Australia is insane though, isn't it? It's like,
I've never watched it.
Oh, it's like way more intense than the UK one or any other one that I've seen. I can't even remember what other countries I've seen. Maybe there's an Irish one. But yeah, they have, like, in the Australian one, they always have, like, really intense challenges. And then they have, like, the other chefs, like, watching them from a balcony. And they're always, like, shouting them on. And, like, they'll do, like, time challenges and stuff. And it's just really intense.
Oh, it sounds more fun. I feel like MasterChef UK is a bit boring.
Yeah, it's very formulaic.
Sorry, BBC.
And John Turode. And what? You don't love Greg Wallace?
Does anybody love Greg Wallace? I mean, I'm sure they do, but, like, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't.
Like, Inside the Factory, his little show where he goes, like, my God, that's how you make fish fingers?
He's always fucking blown away by everything. Yeah. Isn't he? Like,
wow, and these are breadcrumbs?
You put the fish, there's no fingers in the fish.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like an Alan Partridge star.
Yes, anyway. Yes. Anyway, sorry, we digress.
We digress. Greg Wallace's cookbook, me on a later show.
I hope not.
Yeah, so she was on MasterChef Australia, and I think that launched her food career, and she's very popular. She's very, I don't think she won MasterChef, but she is very, like, charismatic and fun. She wears all these, like, funky glasses. And yeah, she's just cool. I think she's really cool.
Yeah.
I was reading that even before she went on MasterChef, she was, like, your go-to, like, foodie teacher. And I read that she would try and incorporate food into, like, her lessons. And she, like, she took humanities, or she, and for medieval day or medieval history day, she got a suckling pig and brought it into school and, like, cooked it, I guess, how they would cook it in medieval times. So, like, kids to learn through food.
Wow, which is, that's fun. Like,
amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think, so, I think that her, like, teaching skills have really, like, helped in her, like, food career, because her first book before this one was called Alice's Food A to Z.
Oh, fun.
And it was a book for kids to introduce them to, like, vegetables and to get them eating more stuff.
There's a theme here then.
Yes. And she, yeah, and then she had, like, an online resource, I think it's called, like, Phenomenal, which was for teachers to help introduce kids to more foods and vegetables and, like, them for learn about food and cooking and stuff. And so, like, she's really passionate about it. And I think it's really fun and it's really, yeah, interesting.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, this is another, I felt like last season we referred to a lot of books as, like, an encyclopedic kind of volume of teaching you about different things. And this is probably another one, isn't it? It's very educational about each of the veg. So
yeah,
the teaching thing makes sense.
Yeah, and she's just full of life. She's a radio DJ, like a presenter.
Oh my God, yeah. Our dream gig.
I know. Alice, get us on Radio Melbourne. Yeah, and she's like a regular presenter. She also writes various columns, I think. She's written for The Guardian before, various other stuff. So yeah, she's just cool. She's like very, obviously she's passionate about vegetables. She's not vegan or vegetarian, but this, yeah. And neither is this book.
No.
And we'll talk about it. And I think that she, like, she just says that, like, growing up and in her family, like, as a culture as well in Georgia, food was always around and learning about food and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, like, I read an article in the Australian Jewish News, and she's talking about borscht and, you know, that her grandmother made and all that kind of stuff, and talking about, like, beetroots, which I, you know, I love it when people talk about beetroots because no one talks about them. Generally. And I don't know what to do with them.
Beetroot. I'm going to start rating you out of beetroots, I think, because you can rate me out of ottolenghis and I'll rate you out of beetroots.
Great. I got more beetroots this week in my veg box. And,
did you?
You know, thanks to this book, maybe I can do something with them.
Her Instagram is very fun as well, isn't it? Like, she's a very colourful. Yeah, she's got this big smile. She seems really fun. Kind of want to be her pal.
She's all about the colours, isn't she?
Like, yes.
Which I guess leads us into this book. So this book is called In Praise of Veg. It's massive.
Huge. And,
like, we say that a lot. It's like almost 500 pages of
It's like a weight.
Book. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's massive.
We should also probably have the little disclaimer that we have been sent this book by the lovely publishers.
Yes.
So it's our first freebie book that we're reviewing on the podcast. But that's not why, right? Like, we got it and we were both just like, wow, this is incredible, and wanted to talk about it. It's a beaut.
It's absolutely beautiful, and we've not been told what to say about it. But yeah, I'm very glad we got it.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, spoiler alert. So yeah, it's all about vegetables, and it's her kind of, I don't know, it's a tome. We always say things are a tome, but it is. But it's like, it's not in like a dusty way. Like, it's a really like useful like resource, like a textbook.
Yes.
Almost, of vegetables, where it's categorized, you know, by vegetable, but in colours rather than A to Z, which is called alphabetical.
Don't say you never learn with us. Yeah, because like the first colour is white, isn't it? And it's like garlic, horseradish, parsnip, fennel, like all the white veg. Yeah.
Do you want to carry on with the next colours or?
Bear with orange, carrots, sweet potato, butternut squash, pumpkin.
I'm not sure they've got it yet. Do you want a carrot?
Red, tomato, radish, red capsicum, rhubarb, chili.
So basically,
purple. I think turnip, beetroot. Oh no, I've killed Vic.
Yes. It's categorized by colour. And actually, I think that is a good idea for a number of reasons. One, so that you're not dealing with like, oh, is this an eggplant or is it an aubergine in this book? Or, you know, is it zucchini or a courgette?
True. Is it a capsicum or is it a pepper?
Exactly.
We never talk about this.
We
Why
don't.
Why do they call them capsicums? I'm just so fascinated.
They're like just big into Latin.
Bad name of the week.
Big into Latin. Me, Boris Johnson. The whole gang. And it's also good because if you get something in your veg box or whatever, you see a vegetable that you get and you don't know what it is.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, let me tell you about how I often get
veg boxes.
Veg boxes. And not available in Japan, veg boxes, unfortunately.
Really? Fun fact.
What are they called? Kohlrabis.
Oh, yes.
In my veg boxes. And every time I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, or daikon. Sometimes you get a daikon.
Yeah.
Like, holy Jesus. Where would I go?
Holy Jesus. So it came out in 2020, this book.
Yes.
And it's very... And we talked about how they don't color, but like each vegetable has like a 2 introduction pages. It will talk about, you know, what the vegetable is. And then it talks about buying and storing, prepping, how to cook with it.
Yes. Love that.
Also, she has a bit called functional food, which like I'm looking at the garlic section now. And it talks about how it's good for your health and all that kind of stuff.
And what flavors complement it as well. Like in daikon here, it's like carrot, ginger, miso. Yeah, it's just really, so it kind of is empowering you to like build your own stuff as well or play around with the recipes.
Yes. And that's what she says, I think, in a lot of the like PR for this book and in the beginning introduction, I believe they're called. She says, you know, she wants you to be able to like put your vegetables at the heart of your dish and like play around and try and understand how they work and how vegetables work together. And she's great.
It's like, it's every time I pick it up, because it's very large, every time I pick it up I find a new recipe and I'm like, oh shit, should have done that. Like, oh god, this is so much, it's massive. The intro bit I quite like as well. There's like a matrix, and who doesn't love a matrix?
I love the matrix as well. Big Keanu Reeves fan over here. I'm actually not. I don't know why I said that, but
the first one's good. It went.
I've seen it.
Yeah. So it's got like this table. Oh, I just don't want to say matrix again in case we trigger Vic.
I'm just gonna get my long black coat and sunglasses from downstairs.
But it has each of the veg, and then it has like in a hurry, and it just tells you what to do, like raw, like blitz, like with cauliflower, it's like blitz it into cauli rice a la purple cauli tabbouleh, and it gives the page, or like a set and forget, and it gives all the recipes for like stuff that you just want to cook and leave to like slow cook or whatever, or a flavor bomb. And then it's just and she just kind of does a little, you know, quick breakdown of each of the recipes by vegetable as well, which is great. Beautiful photos and illustrations as well.
Yes, it won an award for that, actually, for the... It's won lots of awards. It's even won an award in Germany.
Oh,
it's been translated, I think. I hope. I'm just like, this is really pretty. Have an award. But yeah, it won an award for the illustrations. It's won, various lovely things. Oh. And rightly so.
I see she's got like a quote from, in the chili section, she's got a quote from Rocío Sánchez as well. Isn't she the one from Noma that...
That sounds right. Yeah,
so she's got these little chef quotes peppered through. Yeah, there's even one from JP McMahon, who's Irish, token Irish.
Yay.
Oh no, it's in the potato section.
where else would you expect it to be?
Wow, okay. I mean, that's nice. He says every young person should learn to cook mashed potatoes with lots of butter.
I mean, okay. I respect that. And
yeah, that's true. You know, you're a big MASH fan.
A huge MASH fan.
Yeah. Did you see on Instagram this week, Easter Belfrage was making mashed potatoes in her stand mixer with a whisk attachment?
No, I did not.
Yeah. She was saying that that's the best way to make MASH.
I feel like she's lying. I don't want liquid MASH. You know, sometimes you get that. Just a helicopter outside my room, so sorry about that. If you hear that.
Keanu's touching outside. Down.
They finally caught up with me.
Yeah, I know. Wild. But didn't we do that for Delia? Didn't one of us whisk? Yes.
No. So, you know.
Oh, maybe I did. I felt like I had a handheld whisk and I made mash or something like that.
Perhaps.
Anyway, we digress again. It's beautiful.
It's like gorgeous. Everything. She also, doesn't she love a pun?
Yes, she does. I mean, her Instagram bio says, every day I'm Brusselin.
Yeah.
So and I noticed
a few little bits. I heard her, I didn't hear her, I read her say, talking about dill, and she said it was delicious.
Great. Hello. And also one of the recipes that I wanted to make is called it took me a while to realize that it was a pun, but it's jalapeno business, which I think is meant to be like a all up in your business kind of thing, but you know, it doesn't
convey in an Irish accent as well. Jalapeno business. See what you've done there.
Yeah, love's a pun and I respect that in her.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Great. Cool. Brilliant. So, what did you cook?
What did I cook? It was so long ago, I can barely remember.
Cool.
This was the first book that I cooked for this season, and it feels like I've done it a little bit out of order. But I cooked two things.
Mm-hmm.
Are you happy with me for that? If I said three, would you roll your eyes at me?
No, I feel like with this book, it'd be very easy to do like lots because it's so big. It took me so long to decide what to cook, like because I just kept looking through and looking through and looking through.
Yeah, there's a lot that I wanted to make and I feel like I, in a way, have dialed it in because I didn't test myself as much as I would like. Like there's great like bready stuff in here and everything, but I just let my veg box guide me on this one.
Beautiful.
Just, you know.
Jesus, take the wheel, kind of. Odd box, take the wheel.
Still going in for that odd box sponsorship. I made the... Firstly, I got some bok choy in my odd box. And so I made the grilled bok odd choy. Oh my God. Honestly.
I'm fine.
Get me out of here. I made the grilled bok. It sounds like the like South African version of odd box.
Sorry.
I made the grilled bok choy with peanut sauce.
Oh.
As we know, love peanuts. Yeah. Love anything with peanut butter. And this is really very simple. You char grill the bok choy so it gets the nice kind of mark. It would be really good if you had one of those proper grill pans, which I didn't have. But you soak the bok choy first and then you heat your pan really high and you press the bok choy face down so it gets the nice kind of grill lines. And then in a different saucepan, you pop in veggie stock, peanut butter, oyster sauce, so it's not like fully vegetarian, but I'm sure you could swap that out, soy sauce and vinegar. And then you just kind of bring that to a simmer. And then you toast some peanuts in a pan and then you literally just bring it all together. So you just arrange the bok choy once it's kind of nice and char grilled in a plate and then you pour over the sauce and you garnish with peanuts and shallots, crispy shallots and chili. And it's just really, you know, that was exactly what I wanted to do that day. It was just like something quick and delicious and, you know, used up some veg and wasn't really labor intensive. I would say I would slightly reduce the peanut butter that you use in it because it's like a third of a cup, which was quite a lot. And I know you're looking,
I feel like that's blasphemy.
I know you're looking at me like, I would never say that. I eat peanut butter by the spoon on a daily basis, like I'm obsessed, but it just felt a little bit on the rich side. So maybe it was the peanut butter brand that I was using as well. I can't remember what it was. But apart from that, it was just great. It would be a great like side, or you could even have it with like noodles or rice or something.
Mm.
Or like, you know, I don't know, protein or meat on the side as well. And it was great. Very simple. Very nice.
Yeah, sounds nice. I feel like that's good because I think bok choy is one of those things that you...
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know what to do with. And you only buy it if it's in a recipe that you need to do something with, usually like a Vietnamese soup or whatever.
Is Vietnamese the name of our new range of
steamers?
Yeah. Dry, like, yeah, I don't know. Move on.
vermicelli noodles. Yeah, so I feel like that's good. I mean, yeah, who doesn't like peanut butter? I mean, obviously people that are allergic, but other than that... You've got no excuse.
Psychopaths. it was just great for that because, yeah, like you said, I got it in this veg box and I was just like, I don't know what to do with this, really. Like, I'm just a bit ignorant when it comes to bok choy and various other veg, like daikon, as previously mentioned. or like, you know, I feel like celeriac. There's a lot of like kind of rooty veggies that I don't really know what to do with. And this book would be really great to just, yeah, you look up whenever you get them. The second thing that I made, and, you know, fine, the second and final thing, Victoria, that I made. And I feel like, yeah, I'm a bit, I shouldn't have done, well, I should have, because I got a pumpkin in the odd box as well. And, just, you know, you get a bit sick of what to do. Like, you get a lot of squashes and pumpkins in those things. And I just always just kind of roast them up and don't really do anything very imaginative. But she's got a recipe for this classic zesty pumpkin risotto.
Oh,
I love a risotto. I made that for the podcast before. But what was interesting,
she loves a risotto.
I do love a risotto. Yeah. It's like my comfort thing. Like, if I'm like in on a weekend night, like, just want, like, especially in winter, it's just like there's something really therapeutic about a risotto.
Yeah.
But this one is interesting because she grates the pumpkin. So,
oh,
yeah. So, like, I've made risottos with squash or whatever before, but it's just like I've roasted it and like served it on top of the risotto. But this, you grate the like flesh of the pumpkin, and then that goes into the kind of mix of the risotto and gets cooked down. So you just start by, yeah, like melting some butter, and then you add shallot, and then you put in your garlic and pumpkin. And then you stir in the rice and the olive oil and everything to coat it all up. And then you start adding your stock and everything. So the pumpkin goes in right at the beginning, and it just makes it this really beautiful color.
Mm.
And you do, you know, the classic thing with the risotto, where you keep on stirring the stock in until it's all absorbed. And then at the end, you add in like quite a lot of lemon zest and juice. So it's really, really zingy. I would say that it's like very lemony. But it was great. And then a bit of butter and parmesan, and then you just like let it chill for a minute. You spoon over some feta to serve, and parsley and chives and more parmesan. But it was really, really, really good. I just thought that way of bringing in the pumpkin early on was genius. Like,
yeah,
it's like, what else can I do that with? What other vegetables can I grate?
She loves a grated thing, right? Like, I was just thinking about it when you're saying that. Both of my recipes, you grate things.
Oh, really?
And yeah, and I feel like she really likes that, which is fun.
I mean, I don't love grating stuff.
No.
It really pisses me off, actually. It's just like your nails or your like knuckles always get like, someone needs to come up with a better grating system. I'm all for the final product, but I'm not for the process.
Mm. Well, you guys, Hannah and some of our other friends actually bought me a greater attachment for my KitchenAid, which is great. It's great. And that takes a lot of the, you know, annoyingness out of it. And you've always just got a one big chunk of something left at the end, haven't you, of whatever you're grating.
Yeah.
But it's also like the tube is quite small, so you do have to do some like cutting, and it's not always practical. But yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anyway,
that sounds great.
A little rant about grating. But yeah, it was delicious. Really fresh tasting. I think like risottos can be very heavy, very cheesy, very buttery. But because of that addition of the lemon juice and the zest at the end, it just really lifts it. And it feels like quite, you know, springy and nice and delicious. And yeah, I liked it a lot. The seasoning's right. Everything's just smart and quick. And it's one pot gal, pretty much. So yeah, like that a lot. But yeah, there was just like, I feel a bit sad because I feel like there's other stuff that I wanted to make. We'll get to that later, but I feel like I've only tipped the iceberg on this one.
Yeah, I don't know if you felt the same. I felt like there was almost like two types of recipes in here. There's one that feels quite complicated and long, and the ingredients list is like half a page long, and you know, it feels quite daunting, which I also kind of stayed away from because I felt like, oh God, I don't know how I'm ever going to have time or, you know, to get all these bits and pieces. And then there was, these kind of quick, felt very like, like quick weeknight dinner.
Yes.
Hacky.
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
Yeah, totally. Like there's one silver beet chaturpuri, which is like the kind of like Turkish or Georgia, like cheese bread thing. And that looks so good. But yeah, the recipe is two full pages and the list was really long. And I was just like, okay, that's a project and I will make it at some point, but just didn't have time for this. So yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. But the, you know, the weeknighty ones are great.
Yeah.
Really quick and delicious. So yeah, that was me. What did you make, Victoria?
So I also made two things.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was preparing to, you know, to tell you about them on this podcast, I realised I could two things from the brown section.
Yes, love brown foods.
Yeah.
Was potatoes in there?
Yes.
Oh, good. Do you want me to shout the ingredients of the brown section at you? I hear you say, hold on. Brown, onion, potato, Jerusalem artichoke, yams and tubers.
Tubers.
Tubers. What's a tuber? Mushrooms and truffles. I presume you went straight to the truffle section. Bougie little gal that you are.
You know, got my, you know, went out with my truffle pigs this weekend and to go to Pixar.
There's no way to talk about Stephen Marcus.
So the first thing I made was burnt shallot and crispy brock orecchiette. Very Molly Baz.
Brock's
thingy.
Catching on. Nice. Yeah. Though. That sounds good.
Yeah, it was. And I was excited about it. And also because you bought me some very nice orecchiette.
Yes.
When you came to visit from Lena Stores.
Yes, that's right.
That I was excited to use. And I love orecchiette.
Yeah.
Generally. And pasta. But you don't see a lot of recipes for it. I mean, obviously you could just use it with anything, but it's nice to see it being, you know, getting the airtime it deserves.
Yeah.
So the whole thing with this is the way that you cook the shallots. So the first thing you do is chop them in half lengthways.
Right.
And just kind of put them face down on a hot pan.
Yeah. I don't know why that made me laugh. I just imagined.
Face down on a hot pan is what I found there.
Yeah.
And like leave them to kind of burn.
Right. Nice.
And you don't take the skins off or anything and you just kind of leave them and they kind of soften up. And then you take them out of the pan and the skins just slide off, which is quite fun.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're kind of softened. Yeah. So that's really easy.
Yeah.
Then you grate a head of broccoli. Well, just the kind of florets, and then you chop the stem.
Yes.
You fry up the broccoli florets, great stuff.
Great work.
Until it's crispy.
Right.
Which is nice. And then in with the broccoli, you put the shallots back in.
Yeah.
It felt like a lot of shallot for me, like the like, as in they were, it felt shallot for me.
Thank you.
But, so I did chop them, like, just in half, because otherwise they felt quite big.
Yes.
And then you add some of the pasta water to deglaze the pan.
Nice.
And add in shitloads of Parmesan. Like, I was a bit worried about how much, like 200 grams, two cups.
That's almost a whole wedge, isn't it?
Yeah, I, you know me. I don't like Parmesan that much. It's a very strong, cheesy cheese. And I was like, so I put a lot, but not quite that much in.
Yes.
The zest and juice of two lemons.
Yeah, see, she loves so lemons and like
very
acid.
Zesty.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, which is good because that really like it evens out the parmesan in the end. And you just kind of bring that to the boil and let it kind of thicken up. And that's it. Add some load of black pepper. Oh, also you add the pasta. You should do that. Add the pasta once it's all thickened up.
Yeah.
You cook the pasta separately. And then, and you serve it. She grates a raw garlic clove over it.
Wow.
Grates it. So I did that as well, which was fun. Yeah, and it was really good. I forgot to say, when you're cooking the pasta, she says to add the chopped stalk of the broccoli into the pasta water for the last kind of minute or so to cook that rather than like frying it, which is nice.
That sounds good.
Yeah, lots of like lovely textures. It was very, it was parmesan-y, but not too much.
Mm-hmm.
And the lemon helped to even that out, and the garlic, and she says put chili flakes if you want to on the top.
Nice.
Gorgeous. She has these like tips on and extras on each of the pages.
Yeah.
A bit like Mira Soda
has.
Her notes. These little, little bits and pieces. And she says, this recipe is made extra delicious with the addition of some pan juices from a roast chicken. And I was like, Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah, I don't know what you do with the chicken.
No, I'm a bit confused. Maybe we, in addition to our business of selling caramelized onions, we need to just start selling, chicken pan juices.
Pan
as well.
Juices, yeah.
Pan juices, we might need to work on the name. It makes me feel a bit funny.
Okay. Juice is not a word for
we'll
but no, that was lovely. It was one of those like weeknight dinner. It was quick. It was all in one pot, apart from the pasta. So two pots. Yeah. Could have done it with any other pasta. It didn't need to be orecchiette, but the orecchiette was nice.
Yeah. Effectively just like loads of little bowls isn't orecchiette. I love that. It's
just like little scoops.
It's giving me pasta salad vibes. Like you probably eat it like kind of cold as well or room temperature. I've got like a weird minor obsession with like understanding what a pasta salad is because I feel like we just lash anything into loads of pasta and call it pasta salad. And I actually Googled earlier if Italians eat pasta salad.
Okay.
And they do apparently. I always thought that we just like made it up and it was, it was on like Quora.com or some shit. So like hardly but it was an Italian person who was speaking about it. But yeah, I always thought that was something that we bastardized. And Alison Roman's newsletter this week was a pasta salad. And I was like, what are we doing? I don't always love them. I feel like they're a bit crap. And like, they just remind me of like supermarket shitty, like big tubs of.
Yeah, with like so much mayonnaise that you just, there's no point. Like,
no. But anyway, just a little side note on pasta salad there.
I kind of feel that way about potato salad as well.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Well, not all potato salads are created equal.
Did you Google if Irish people eat potato salad?
No, I was just going to ask you. Luckily, I have my own Irish Quora right on the other end of a phone.
Yeah, we do. We eat a lot of potato salad in many forms. What I love about potato salad in Ireland as well is like we love like a deli bar where you can like make up your own baguettes and
I thought you were gonna say potato salad. I was like, okay.
No, but there's sometimes there's like two types of potato salad. Like hilarious that potato salad even appears as a sandwich filling or potential sandwich filling, but it's great.
It's a filling.
Yeah,
it's not a side, like a coleslaw. Okay.
No. And then you can have like there's like mashed potato salad or like the chunky style. And then you'll be like, yeah, I'll take the mashed one in my baguette or panini or whatever it was.
That's wild.
I know, but it's bloody great.
I mean, mashed potato salad, hook that up to my veins. Like, so Japanese potato salad is a game changer because obviously it's mashed.
Right.
That's not obvious. But what is obvious is that they use Japanese mayonnaise, which is better than, in that kind of, kewpie mayo. So it's like sweeter and it's like richer. And they add usually eggs and ham to it. It's so good.
Yeah.
Shout out to my friend Shuhei, whose mom makes the best potato salad in the world.
Wow.
And every time I would see him in Japan, he would bring me some.
Oh, his, that sounds great.
His mom's pita salad and his, and we went to his house actually in the like Japanese countryside and she made it. And his nan would make these umeboshis, which are those like pickled plums.
Yes.
And he'd bring me those as well because I love those.
Oh, yeah.
They're so like
weird. Tart.
You know,
they're so tart.
I feel like I can like taste them, but yeah, so good. Like on top of rice or like in a rice bowl. Oh.
Yeah. Japanese and potatoes are funny. Like I remember like hiking there and they were like up, just like up the side of a hill that like someone had left out some like roasted like purple potatoes.
Yeah.
And it was like an honesty system and you would just like take a potato as like fuel for your hike and like leave some money. That's wild. I love that.
In like in the season, I guess, of potato, of those purple potatoes, yeah, you just buy them in the shop, like warm and roasted, like in little.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Yeah,
so good.
Sidebar, sorry.
Well, however, my next one is from, oh, it's not from the potato section, it's from the mushroom section, but does include potatoes.
Ooh, what is it?
So I made the mushroom stuffed potato zazi, I believe is how you say it.
I wanted to do these.
Zazi, no, zrazi.
Yes.
With satsabelli.
I wanted to make these. Tell me all about them right now.
They are great. So for like context, because, you know, I didn't know what a zrazi was.
Mm.
They're like little potato dumplings stuffed with, well, in this case, mushrooms. She describes them as all-in-one risoles, potato dumpling, yeah, made of mashed potato, fried, stuffed with delicious stuff. So,
wow,
this is quite it's not labor-intensive, but it's long.
Yeah.
So she says to make a mashed potato, you need 2 cups of mashed potato. She has a mashed potato recipe. I didn't use hers because she adds cream, and I'm not about that life.
No, you're not.
However, in her mashed potato recipe, she keeps the skins, fries them up, and puts them on top.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bold.
Yeah. Hmm. She talks about how that she, in an ideal world, she would mash the potatoes with the skins, but like that doesn't create a good mashed potato.
No.
But, you know, waste. I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
I would try that.
I would too. I might just keep them, fry them and eat them with something else though.
Yeah. Like an onion or something, you know, not eat them with an onion, but like
as my pan juices. pan juices.
So I made some mashed potato, kept it in the fridge overnight because she suggests that that's a good idea and it needs to kind of.
Yeah, firm
you
up.
You know, yeah. Firm up.
Oh, yeah, what were you going to say?
I was going to say harden, but firm up is a better word.
Should we harden those plans for next week? sorry. I'm declining. In decline.
And then satsabelli, by the way, is like a dip.
Ooh.
She says it's Georgia's answer to tomato salsa. Made the traditional way before food processors using a box grater.
Oh, here we go again.
Yeah. So you make the mashed potato. It is what it is. You then make the mushroom duxelles, which
duck
is
cell?
Duck cell. Is that how you say it? I don't know. You're our French correspondent.
I am so not.
Basically, you make she calls it a very intense mushroom and onion mix. So it's 400 grams of mixed mushrooms, preferably shiitake and button, and 2 brown onions. And you basically chop those really finely and cook them for a really long time in 100 grams of butter.
Ooh.
With some salt until they are like very intense, dry, like kind of.
They are one.
Reduced. Yeah. Until they are lovely, you know, that. They've got that really intense, like, mushroomy taste.
Mm.
I put my mushrooms and onions in the mini chopper because I wasn't going to finally chop 400 grams of onions.
No.
But I think that maybe they were 2 small pieces, perhaps, by the end of it.
Right.
Not sure. Anyway, so you put that in the fridge overnight.
Oh.
As well.
So that has to be the second night. This is the 3-day recipe. Yeah. Mashed potatoes in the fridge the first night.
No, I did it the same night.
Okay.
I actually made the mashed potato in like the morning and then the mushroom thing in the evening and then cooked it for dinner the next day.
Nice.
Just to keep you posted. I think it was a Tuesday and a Wednesday. So when you're ready to cook, she says, you add into the mashed potato an egg yolk, some flour and pepper in a bowl. Mm-hmm. And you then make them into 10 equal size balls.
Okay.
And then you get a couple of teaspoons of the mushroomy mixture and put those, you know, onto the ball.
Okay.
Fold it over, make it into like a pattern. Ovally shape.
Cool.
So you do that for all of them. She says to like keep your hands wet so you're not getting mashed potato sticky hands. That was a great tip, have to say.
In your autobiography. Mashed potato sticky hands.
Oh, they're like, keep a bowl of water. That's the name of my children's book. Mashed potato sticky hands. Adventures of a
potato enthusiast.
And then you just fry them in a load of olive oil.
Olive oil.
I think olive oil, not butter. Yeah, olive oil. For about 3 or 4 minutes each side, and you like they crisp up.
Nice.
Oh my god, they were so good.
Great.
And then the sauce, the salsary dip.
Yeah,
so good. So that is 2 medium-sized tomatoes, half an onion, garlic, coriander, sherry vinegar. I used to have rice vinegar because I had that. I don't have sherry vinegar. Harissa paste. Salt, a little bit of sugar, and some ground fenugreek.
Oh.
And so you grate tomatoes, the onion, of course you do, the garlic cloves. You just mix all that together, basically, and kind of let it sit for a bit. And it's lovely. And you're supposed to like dip them in, and it's just like, it's like fresh and tomatoey, and well, it's got the harissa, so it's kind of spicy.
Yes. And the fenugreek probably adds like some depth as well. Oh, nice. Yeah. That sounds really good.
So nice. And then the dumplings were, as you can imagine, great. Like that lovely mushroomy taste, but like a crispy potato thing. I would absolutely make them again.
Yeah. Great for entertaining again, right? Like that's.
Yes.
A little.
I even thought they'd be quite good for like a baby, you know, maybe with a bit, you know, like,
I don't know, because they're like,
you don't know any babies.
No,
I'll let you know. No, I just know
you don't know him since he woke you up at 4 a.m. this morning. No, you've disowned.
He's dead to me. yeah, I just think, you know, good for little hands, stuffing something fun.
What about normal size hands? How would they do?
They were great. We didn't eat them all. I had a couple the next day that I just kind of warmed up in the microwave. I didn't fry them again. Great.
Delicious.
Just really nice.
Oh, they sound so good. Yeah, I saw that recipe and I was like, ooh, that looks good.
Yeah. They just look so, I mean, who doesn't love a dumpling?
Yeah, again. And also like, I love a potato croquette. And that's like, you know, mashed potatoes with a crispy outside. So like, you're just putting some mushrooms in it. Yeah.
It's such a good idea. You could put anything in the middle of that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And then she says also the mushroom duxelles, or however we're saying it, is great as a filling for cheese toasties inside pastry or dumplings as a pasta sauce base, almost classically in beef Wellington.
Oh, so she's
like,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
I did have quite a lot left over of that.
Oh, right.
So yeah, you could definitely like, yeah, put that in a sandwich or
love
whatever.
All those little tips. They're genuinely like doable and handy. Wow. They sound great.
Yeah. I'm very glad I made them and I'll definitely make them again.
Yummy. You're kind of making me want to make them today, but then I realised I couldn't eat them till tomorrow because I'd have to fridge something.
You might be fine. She says ideally to fridge the stuff overnight. I think as long as your mashed potato is like cool.
Yeah.
You could just put it in.
My mashed potatoes are always cool. Yeah. shall
what
we?
What else did you want to cook from there? I mean, loads, obviously, because it's massive.
Yes. And as I said, I felt like, you know, I just needed to, there was, you know, I felt like I dodged in a bit. There was tons. Those mushroom potato things were on my list. The Sichuan sticky eggplant.
That's on my list. Yeah. They look great.
So good. The jalapeno business thing, the poppers. Oh, they're like jalapeno poppers things. There was these cheese cloud corn cobs with apple chipotle barbecue sauce.
Oh.
Which looked so good. This like effectively like roasted corn on the cob with like loads of cheese and then this great dipping sauce.
Amazing.
I love that. These fuzzy basil cheese sticks.
Yeah, which we both just saw before we got on the oh no, you didn't.
I'd seen them just before, but it was like, it's basically like they're like mozzarella sticks, but it's like wrapped in that Kadaifi pastry. They're kind of like the stringy pastry. And she says, like, what's the game changer is like the fried basil, which apparently changes everything. And
yeah, they look amazing.
So good. There's like sprout things in there as well. She has these like 70s dinner party sprouts that look fun. Just so much. Really, really so much.
Yeah. That eggplant was on mine. I feel like this was stretching a little bit, but her like spring roll recipe seemed very like accessible because she had spring rolls and then they were like lettuce wraps spring rolls, which I thought was weird.
Yeah. Was there a purple cabbage one of those as well or something?
Possibly, yeah. I feel like that was, they look delicious. She's got this like 2-page spread of chili sauces and they all looked amazing.
Yes.
Like ones with peanuts and like, yeah, so great. One thing I might make today or this weekend is her confit tomatoes.
I saw them. Yeah.
Just really low and slow in the oven. Just leave them and like put them on toast. Like so good. Because we're in tomato season, baby. Tomato klaxon. Woo, woo, woo.
We only like them ripe. She's got like tomato toast 4 ways as well.
Yes, with peanut butter. Did you see that?
No.
One of them is tomato and peanut butter. And I was like, oh my God, flashback to The Joy of Cooking.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. She had that, a sandwich, right?
Oh my God. Maybe I'll try that. It sounds weird, I know. Well, yeah. I guess it's like, no.
I feel like, you know, Alice has said it now, so we're convinced.
Yeah.
And the first recipe I ever saw in here when I flicked through it was the butter carrot curry.
Yes.
So it's like a butter chicken, like a makhani.
Yeah.
But with carrots. And again, that was like, it looks like an effort, like a real kind of project. The ingredients list is huge. But like game changer if you love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
If you love butter chicken, but you don't eat meat.
Yeah.
So good. Anyway, yes, there's loads. We'll post some pictures of this book on Insta when we put this episode out as well, and yeah, because it's just so lovely.
It's very, very beautiful, and yeah, I feel like I'll keep coming back to it because
yeah, me too.
Don't know if we mentioned, but we get veg boxes, and this will help.
Shall we rate?
Yay! We're just so in sync. We're on the same page, you know.
Yeah, we are. We're like two sides of the same coin.
Except,
is it a euro? Is it a pound though?
Wow.
You're welcome.
So each episode we rate the book out of 5 criteria. These are usability and accessibility. That's one. Ingredients used. Are they things that you find easy to get or have to hand? Aesthetics. Is the book veggie friendly? And is it inspiring? Wow, I'm really struggling with this one this season.
Inspiring.
We rate out of inspirability. So yeah, does the book just make you want to get in the kitchen and get your veg out? And for each chef or book, we change the criteria that we rate out of based on something that comes up again and again, or is a general theme. And I think it would be remiss of us not to rate Alice out of greatness.
A great rating
for all of her grating box grater needs.
Yeah.
So Vic, how many grates are you giving In Praise of Veg?
I thought this book was great. So accessibility and usability, I'm giving it
one. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
So it's not
a great.
It's only out of five. A great. One great. It's very easy to read, and it's laid out really beautifully, as Hannah's described to us earlier. It's got a lot of, yeah, it's great. It's fun. Ingredients, I'm only giving half.
Oh, interesting.
Because I just think some of the ingredients are quite long, and it includes some bits that do feel a bit intimidating. If I was like, okay, I've got this intimidating veg already, and now I've got to add all these bits and pieces.
Fair.
So I feel like that could put you off a little bit, only a little bit.
Yeah.
So it gets half. Aesthetics, yes, absolutely gets a great for that from me, because it's beautiful and it's, yeah, mm-hmm. really colourful and lovely. Is it veggie friendly? Yep.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. But it's not, it does have, there are like meat and fish bits in here.
Yes.
And, but meat also, and yeah, options. Mm. Meat and fish bits.
Meat and with your pan juices.
And inspirability, like, yes. And I feel like that's the whole point of it, is to get you thinking about what you can do with, yeah, like you said, with like root veg, like, that's not just roasting it and putting in a soup or whatever, you know, you feel comfortable doing. So it gets 4.5 greats out of rates. 4.5. It gets 4.5 greats out of 5 rates for me.
Nice.
My great rate is.
Great, great. Similar story here. Didn't wait to be asked there. I just plowed on ahead.
You're predicting what's coming. And I like that. You know, you're one step ahead of the game.
Well-oiled machine. Usability and accessibility. I thought about like docking a slight half grate here because of those like project-y recipes that are quite long, but I haven't done that for anyone else. So that doesn't seem fair. Like I love a project recipe. And so I'm just going to give her one grate there. And ingredients, everything was really easy. Like that. Well, it's particularly the recipes that I picked, which were very simple. I had everything around, which was nice, and obviously got the veg in my veg box. Anyway, aesthetics, of course, it's really beautiful. Veggie friendly, yes, of course. It's kind of in the name, but yeah, like Vic said, there is meat in there, so it's not entirely vegetarian. And sometimes you think something is a veggie recipe, but there's like a little bit of like ground lamb or something hiding in there, and you're like, okay, we move.
That happens to me all the time.
Just you find like ground lamb hiding.
Yeah, hiding everywhere, all over.
Crouching tiger, hidden ground lamb. And I am so inspirable by this book.
I have seen Inspire.
I am fully inspirable. So I'm giving it 5 greats out of great.
Woo!
I think it's, I just can't imagine the amount of work that's gone into this book. It's a huge amount of research and just, yeah, really, you know, I think if anyone was looking to get more veg into their diet, then this would be a great place to start. And we love it. I'm a big fan of Alice now. She's a new pal.
Yeah, me too. She's at Alice in Frames, because her glasses thing on Instagram, if you wanted to follow her and see how great she is.
What book are we doing next, Vic?
So it's a flip mode. Ooh. Into something that I feel, is this our first like baking only? Oh no, we did
Dory.
Yeah. So it is a baking book.
Woohoo! Yo!
Yay! Woohoo! And it is Ravneet Gill's book, The Pastry Chef's Guide. It's her first book. I'm sorry, I'm just going in there, plowing in there about the
omnibus, by the way. We're just going straight into the next episode.
That's what you wanted, right? It's what the people asked for. More cookbook circle. Yeah, and it's a course pretty much, right? In pastry.
Yeah.
It's a real kind of education. So it's going to be an interesting chat, I think, between me and Hannah.
It is. It is. It's a smaller little book than I expected. It's not, you know, it's like almost not quite pocket size, but yeah.
Handbag size.
Bit dinky.
For the lady pastry chef in your life.
Fits right into your little handbag before you get into that kitchen. Yeah, I'm really excited for this. And Ravni Gill, I think, is a great person who's doing great things in London.
Yes.
Like founded Counter Talk and stuff like that. So it should be a good episode. I'm really excited. I might pick something today. Watch this space. But yeah.
Cool. I'm excited. I will see you for that.
I mean, can we talk before then, maybe?
No.
You don't answer my... She doesn't answer my text between episodes. It's really embarrassing.
She just sends me a record request and I jump on. Very busy. Grating various vegetables.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you. We'll see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please do subscribe and leave us a review as it helps others to find us. You can see how recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle. And if you make anything from the books we talk about, don't forget to tag us. See you next time. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.